The Melrose Sanitarium, Melrose, Massachusetts, August 21, 1904. Ever since the removal of the New England Sanitarium to Melrose, I have had a desire to see the new location and to tell those connected with the institution of the important influence which its work may exert to benefit the people of Boston. I have now been at the Melrose Sanitarium for a week, and I find it one of the most favorably located sanitariums that I have ever seen. The spacious lawns, the noble trees, the beauty of the scenery all around answer to the representations given me of what our sanitariums ought to be. Everything is attractive to the eye and refreshing to the senses. Here I see the very pictures that I have been shown in vision, patients lying out in the sunshine in wheelchairs and on cots. I see before me the sights that the Lord has helped me to present before our people in print. Our sanitariums should be attractive places, and the surroundings of this sanitarium correspond more closely than anything else I have seen to the representations that have been given me by the Lord. Several sanitariums in favorable locations have been presented before me, but the strikingly attractive beauty of this place leads me to recognize it as the most favorable sanitarium site that I have ever looked upon. And here should be done the very work that the Lord has specified must be done in our medical institutions. A work resembling the ministry of Christ, the greatest medical missionary that our world has ever known. A noble, helpful, sympathetic work. The manifestation of the cheerfulness and hope and grace of Christ is the highest ministry of truth and the most effective. I have been instructed that our institutions for the relief of suffering humanity are to be working agencies for the healing of both soul and body. During my stay here, I have had an opportunity to see a great deal of the surroundings of the sanitarium. The 40 acres belonging to the institution are in the midst of the Middlesex Falls, a state reservation of 3,500 acres. We have driven slowly through the park, looking with delight at the lake and the trees, and inhaling the health-giving fragrance of the pines. It is delightful to ride through the forest. There are many beautiful drives and much lovely scenery. I enjoy looking at the many different kinds of trees in the forest, but most of all, I enjoy looking at the noble pines. There are medicinal properties in the fragrance of these trees. "Life, life," my husband used to say when riding among the pines. "Breathe deep, Ellen. Fill your lungs with the fragrant, life-giving atmosphere." It is impossible for me to find words to describe the beauty of this place. The sight of the lake and the wide, smooth lawns is refreshing to mind and body. The lake supplies the city of Boston with water and is carefully guarded from contamination. No boating or bathing is allowed in it. What of the buildings? They are well built and fairly convenient. In one of the cottages, the doors and window casings are made of heavy black walnut. Many of the washstands, bureaus, chairs, and bedsteads are also of black walnut. There were about $6,000 worth of furniture in the buildings when they were purchased. The buildings, with 40 acres of land, were bought for blank $1,000. These advantages have come to us in the providence of God, and we should be thankful and grateful, realizing that the Lord has been working in behalf of His people so that they shall have courage to press forward in His work. Let those who are connected with this sanitarium remember that the Lord is to be praised. He has worked on human minds to keep this place from passing into the hands of those who could not appreciate its advantages. In this institution, a work is to be done that will bring health to soul and body. And the praise of God is to be in the hearts and minds of the workers. Additional facilities should be provided for the care of patients. Many from Boston and from other places will come here to be away from the din and bustle of the city. Other buildings will be needed. Rooms must be provided for the rich, who are accustomed to many conveniences.
Boston has been pointed out to me as a place that must be faithfully worked. The light must shine in the outskirts and in the inmost parts. This sanitarium is one of the greatest facilities that can be employed to reach Boston with the truth. The city and its suburbs must hear the last message of mercy to be given to our world. Tent meetings must be held in many places. The workers must put to the very best use the abilities God has given them. The gifts of grace will increase by wise use. But there must be no self-exaltation. No precise lines are to be laid down. Let the Holy Spirit direct the workers. They are to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. The work for this great city will be signalized by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, if all will walk humbly with God. The worker for God is not left without a pattern. He is given an example which, if followed, will make him a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. He is bidden to glorify God by carrying out unselfish aims and purposes. The Lord understands man's nature, and he holds up before him the laws of the kingdom of heaven, which he is to honor and obey. He places the Bible in his hands as the guidebook that will show him what is truth and what he must do in order to inherit eternal life. This book draws the attention from temporal interests to spiritual realities. It tells man, fallen and sinful though he is, how he can become a prince and a king in the heavenly courts, an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. God sees how strong man's inclination is to accumulate earthly treasure, and in the highways and byways of life, his voice is heard saying, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8, verse 36. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. God's messengers are commissioned to take up the very work that Christ did while on this earth. They are to give themselves to every line of ministry that he carried on. With earnestness and sincerity, they are to tell men of the unsearchable riches and the immortal treasures of heaven. They are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They are to repeat heaven's offers of peace and pardon. They are to point to the gates of the city of God, saying, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Revelation 22, verse 14. The Lord is ready and waiting to help the workers in every sanitarium to do the work that needs to be done. He expects everyone to work for him according to his several ability. Man's activity is not to be repressed, but sanctified and rightly directed. Let the workers in our sanitariums take heed to their character building. Let them not think that God values them according to their position. Let them remember that they must unite with God, carrying on their work with humility and learning each day the meekness and lowliness of Christ. It is this that brings true greatness.